Design Review Board meeting of Tuesday, September 13th. Can we have a roll call, please?
Thank you. Member Carroll?
Here.
Member Clinton?
Here.
Member Schneider?
Here.
Member Shaler?
Present.
Member Swainy?
Here.
Member Vice Chair Smith?
Here.
Chair Branch?
Here.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a new member. Greetings.
We'd like to introduce Ms. Karis Clinton as our new landscape professional. So now our makeup of the board is full, and our city clerk is going to swear her in.
Excellent.
Of the state of California against all enemies, foreign or domestic, that I bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the state of California, that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties upon which I am about to enter. Do you?
I do.
Great. Congratulations.
Thank
you. And if
you.
I can ask you to sign.
Sarah?
And then here. I said that's just that. Thank you much. Thank you.
Welcome. Welcome to the board.
Thank you.
We'll go to the administrative agenda and the meeting minutes.
A chair?
Yep.
As I read through the minutes, and they were copious, and I appreciate the work Ms. Gregory did when we were looking at the concept review for the Cayo Real Hotel project, because
yeah,
there's a lot of minutes and comments that were captured.
Right.
And just one thing for me that stood out, that I don't know if it's just nuanced or just me, but it was on the last page, number D, where it says the use of gray water for the landscaping is encouraged. That's when there became that discussion that they were going to potentially move their laundry off-site, so the amount of gray water would probably not be a significant amount in the first place. But they also had a problem with what their water allocation was, and that was their way of not exceeding it, and maybe some way of expressing that thought and consideration should be given to having, instead of the potable water being used on whatever the landscaping plan is they're bringing forward, saving and using enough of the gray water to cover all of their landscaping needs externally. So I was going to say the use of gray water from on-site laundry for landscaping is strongly encouraged, just encouraged. I know the Planning Commission will be receiving these minutes, and to me that was just one of the most important points as we discussed water that came forward on this project, and I just wanted to make sure that as the Planning Commission reviews the minutes that sort of stood out and just wasn't one of two pages of minutes.
Okay.
So, I mean, I was just going to say make it from on-site laundry. The use of gray water from on-site laundry is strongly encouraged, then hope the applicant and the city staff and the water district can come up with a plan that allows that to actually happen without moving the laundry
okay.
off-site and moving that water use somewhere else where it still is being used.
Right. Do you think, just one question I would have for you, is do you think that limits your source of gray water, potential source for gray water?
I don't know that.
I mean, right now it's kind of a blanket source, so wherever they can get it.
Okay.
As opposed to the...
I see what you're saying from expressly calling out on-site laundry. Then
right.
says they might not take it from somewhere else.
Right.
How about the use of gray water such as on-site laundry?
Yeah.
Because I think one of the things it does is it brings that whole on-site laundry back into question and whether they're taking it off-site or not.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I think that makes that more of what I was thinking.
Okay.
So we'll make the change on the minutes.
Okay.
Appreciate that.
Does somebody, we're kind of in the discussion of the minutes, but does someone want to make a motion for approving the minutes?
I'll make a motion for approval of the minutes.
And then a second?
I'll second that.
And then those, what we just talked about, will go into the discussion of that. Does anybody else have any other comments regarding the minutes? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Minutes are approved.
Mr. Chair, I think Board Member Karis Clinton is to abstain on this one.
Oh, true. True. Okay, item C2, Planning Director Report.
Yes, first, welcome, Ms. Clinton, to the board. And just a reminder, you're back to 2 meetings a month now for September and October. And then we're back to 1 on November and December. And what's fun is that your November meeting is on Election Day, November 8th. So either you're going to get a lot of people here or no one. So.
Okay. Item D, review of agenda.
So everything on your agenda is requesting your review today, and your next meeting is September 27th.
Great. Okay, item E, public comment. This is the time where the public can have an opportunity to comment on any non-agenda item relevant to the city. And I have no speaker slips. Does anybody in the audience want to speak? All right, seeing none, we'll move to item F, the sign calendar.
Thank you, Chair. The sign subcommittee today met with the applicant for the the Decker's Monument signage. They presented a photograph of what they had proposed. I don't know how many copies we have. Can I borrow yours as well, Bill? So I'll pass these down to everybody. What the applicant proposed was very similar to what we saw the last time, with the exception that the spot on the sign that is lit with an LED that was supposed to say either open or closed, they had a little metal hood over it. They removed the metal hood, and they made the letters open a cutout in the metal backed with an off-white acrylic with the idea that it would be lit only during opening hours between 8 to 5. The sign subcommittee reviewed it, and we all felt unanimously that this is not much of a change from the last time it was presented. And the last time it was presented, the board reviewed it and voted that the sign was not acceptable. Member Sheeler also made the point that this presents a big can of worms. If we start having monument signs with additional information attached to it besides just the name of the business or the address number, that this could open a significant can of worms. So the sign subcommittee recommended that we pass this along to the full board with a recommendation that it be denied.
Okay. In that case, has everybody visited the site?
Yes. Site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
No site visit, but I'm familiar with that sign and the property, and no ex parte.
I'm the same as Scott. I'm familiar with the site, no ex parte.
Familiar with the site, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte. No site visit.
I'm familiar with the area. No ex parte.
All right. Well, with that, do any of the other members have any questions?
Chair Branch?
Yeah.
I just did have one question. We had been provided this handout, and looking at the minutes from the last time this was before us, under the motion number 2 said that the site plan shows that the monument sign is in the wrong location and needs to be corrected.
Yeah, I think
it is. Okay, so that...
That's been corrected, I think, yeah. They showed them.
Because I'm...
Right there.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. It originally showed it out here somewhere.
Carl, go ahead.
I guess I'm wondering about the legal name for Deckers. Is it Deckers Outdoor Corporation or is it Deckers Brand Showcase?
I believe Deckers Outdoor Corporation.
Can you turn your mic on, please?
Deckers Outdoor Corporation.
Okay.
But I'm not 100% sure on that, how they incorporated.
Right. I'm just going to chime in.
Fire away.
I'm in agreement with the signed subcommittee, certainly relative to the open, and I'm wondering about the brand showcase, that term, if that's not part of the legal name of Deckers, which I would be surprised if it is. I'm not sure what that's doing there on the sign, so I'd opt for not approving it.
Just for some explanation on the brand showcase, I talked to the representative from Deckers, and the brand showcase is to bring attention to the retail portion that they have on site. I guess the issue currently is that
people
are not aware of the retail, and so that's what the brand showcase is coming from.
I understand that. I've also had complaints from some people as to how come they got to put every brand of shoe that they ever have done on the building, which obviously leads to the fact that it's retail. So, yeah, I don't know.
I wonder if the Deckers Corporation has also considered that those brands they have are carried by a number of retail establishments in the Goleta and Santa Barbara area, and that, in effect, they're competing against their own against the same people who are buying wholesale from them. It almost like it's turning it into its own little mini mall.
I agree.
This really shouldn't be there. That's kind of where it feels like it's moving towards.
Well, I agree with you guys. I'm going to chime in. Well, I agree with you philosophically. I would argue they have the right to do that, and I would argue they'd have the right to have their sign say whatever it says. If that's kind of what they're proposing. But I think the thing that I am definitely in agreement with is not having the illumination of the open sign. I don't think that's appropriate on the monument sign, which is really about that center of which Deckers is such a huge part of, and in this case, that main building in front is just that. So that's kind of my 2 cents on it. Anybody else? Aaron, do you have any?
Which one?
Double A?
I would just concur with what you just said. That's my thought as well.
And I would say that I would be fine with the new monument sign without the open sign.
I would kind of go along with Bill. I mean, the lettering for the Deckers Showcase, I can see that, but I just can't go along with the lit, even just the sign that just says open. I think that it's going to open a big can of worms for other monument signs later on.
Yeah, he's from Deckers. Can he join us?
Oh, of course. Certainly. Pull on up a chair, and if you'll turn the mic on and introduce yourself for the record.
I'm Lance Lyon. I'm the Director of Facilities for Deckers Outdoor Corporation.
Terrific.
They had a question about the branch showcase.
Yes.
Is that a copyrighted or legal name? Yeah, I'm wondering.
It is a legal name for one of our for our brand operation. It's a group of shoe companies referred to collectively as Deckers Brands, and it is a copyrighted name. I don't know that it's patented. Trademark, thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, don't go ahead. No.
I was going to say, Karis, do you have anything to say or contribute? Or you don't have to. No pressure, by the way.
I was just looking at this picture that you have here on here and your Deckers Way. That's
yes.
Your address, yeah?
No, it is not. That
oh,
is
that's
simply
not an address.
No, it's simply a designation of the driveway entrance, really.
Ah. Okay. I don't know. Your materials are perhaps difficult to read.
That's a bad picture.
I guess one of the things I think we'd like to hear from you about, I think, is the big sticking point we have is the part of the sign that gets lit that says open. At one point it said open or closed. You're here. We certainly would love to hear from you.
Sure.
And your thoughts on this. So
if I can give you a little background, part of the corporate headquarter building was always a component that included a retail store. Deckers Brands right now represents 7 different brands of shoes. The only shoe that we really have retail outlets for or retail stores for nationwide or even worldwide is the UGG Australia brand. Being the corporate headquarters, we wanted to have a showcase where all of our products were shown at one particular location. And so hence the Deckers showcase. And it's really a showcase for our products that we use with some of our customers, but our hotel, wholesale and retail customers, but it's also open to the public as kind of an extension of Deckers Outdoor Corporation in the local community. And it is the only location that we have that represents all of our brands. And as such, we've got certain signage around the building, but we've got nothing out on the street that lets the public know that we actually have a retail store here in Goleta. We do a lot of work with the community. We offer up our rotunda as a community event center. It is let for the community for nonprofits at no charge, at no cost. So I think that we provide a valuable service to the community. We would like some local recognition for the fact that we do have a retail store available to the public, but have found that most people don't realize that we've got a retail location there. And the thought was that if we simply had something that said, we're open, we never intended it to say closed. It's simply something that would be eliminated during our business hours, which are 10 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock in the evening. So most of the time it wouldn't really be terribly visible, except for the winter hours. And it's not intended to be something that's terribly bright. We don't want to knock people, out of their seats as they drive by. We just want something kind of subtly lit that says we're open. And to create the question in somebody's mind, well, what the heck is open? And it is our Deckers brand showcase. So the signage on the other buildings does say Deckers Brands or Deckers Outdoor Corporation. And so that's really our thought and our desire and our request. And we hope that as potential or hopefully valuable members of the business and charitable community that that we could get this passed.
Okay. Well, we were kind of in our discussion as you arrived, and I'm not 100% certain where everybody's landing on this. Did you want to say something, Aaron?
Just one follow-up question.
Sure. Sure.
Except in extreme circumstances, it's going to be open Monday through Friday, 10 to 6, as a regular.
It's Monday through Saturday. It's closed on Sundays.
Okay.
And it's not an LED sign, so it's not terribly bright. It's a backlit window.
Fluorescent.
So it's, there's light inside the thing?
Yeah, there will be light inside the can, so to speak, shining through the translucent letters. It would be white lettering.
White lettering, really.
With, I don't know what the light
white,
source.
Yeah, off white, or I mean, we can even, if we are open to it, I mean, we can even change the color to make it, you know, let's.
Well, best I can tell from reading what everybody's comments is, the board is almost unanimously against the open sign being on the monument sign. I think that, for me personally, that kind of sets a precedent that in terms of what's going to happen with other, you know, parks, hotels, you know, business parks, hotels, and stuff like that around the city, and I'm concerned what that's going to do. I think monument signs typically are just dimensional lettering that kind of indicates, you know, a complex
sure.
of sorts.
So I believe that in the hospitality industry, you know, hotels and motels typically have signs that say vacancy or no vacancy. I haven't done a survey around town to find out how many of those monument signs that say vacant and you know, unoccupied, so to speak, are in the community. But I know that it's a, you know, typical standard throughout the hospitality industry. I wouldn't know what Marriott is doing, or the, you know, the Courtyard, mm-hmm. or what the two new hotels that are being constructed are doing. But that's the kind of thing that I'm thinking of, you know, for this. And would that be consistent with what is currently being done in Goleta?
Well, I can't think of any of those that we've recently allowed. Anything that does that has probably been grandfathered in, and it's okay. Not something that kind of. We typically like signs that are more subtle and downplayed, and we tend to fight with retailers and people all the time because they want bigger, brighter, and
sure.
we want smaller, subtler.
Well, and there must be examples within certainly Old Town Goleta and certainly other parts of Goleta where somebody will purchase a sign at, you know, Costco
right.
and hang it in their window that says in bright fluorescent letters, open.
Right.
Or Budweiser.
There's,
or something like that.
Well, number one, we've been struggling with Old Town signage. Say, I've been on the board for over 9 years, and we've been struggling with Old Town signage the whole time.
Okay.
Number two, the way the sign ordinance is written, it's one thing that if it's a sign they're hanging up inside their building that's looking through a window, it's mm-hmm. another thing when it's on a monument sign outside.
Sure.
I think, without knowing for sure and taking a survey, but I think if you look around Goleta, I think most of the hotels and motels, they have the vacancy, no vacancy sign, but typically it's over by their office.
Okay.
It's not right. I mean, it's not like in Solvang, but we're not Solvang. So, you know, the we're just really, we're very jealous about signage here. It's just a fact of life. I'm sorry. Personally, I don't have a problem with the wording Decker's Brand Showcase, but the thing that I think a lot of us stick on is the lit open.
Right.
It's, I mean, my own view, it's almost like that area was originally designed as a business park that was conceived as a kind of a seed bed for like, you know, R&D firms
mm-hmm.
and young tech companies. And everybody appreciates Decker's being there, and you guys have done a fabulous job with the building, and it's great. And certainly the showcase is a worthy thing as well, but this is just one more step creeping towards it being more like a mini mall than what that area was originally conceived of as.
Okay.
Sorry.
Are you before I push for a motion here? Would you be amenable to the sign without the open sign, the change of letters, or is that something you'd rather pull all together at that point?
Well, certainly the purpose of replacing the sign was to be able to put something out there that would indicate that we have a retail outlet that is at times open.
Right.
I don't know that we would go to the expense of, the brand showcase doesn't have independent signage on it, other than what is seen from inside the parking lot. But the true intent of replacing the sign was to get something that had an open component to it.
Right. The open sign, the open part of this is kind of what's driving this train.
Sure, yeah.
Chair, is this something that maybe could be continued to allow the applicant, understanding where this board seems to be coming from, to decide?
Yeah, that's what I was just going to ask.
Do you want to make the best monument sign that serves your needs?
We can continue this and you guys can go think about it, or we can take a vote.
If we incorporated an open component to it that was not illuminated, would that satisfy this board's needs? Excuse me.
I don't think so. Not for me. But I would make one suggestion. If you got rid of brand showcase and said Deckers retail stores, outlets, whatever, then people would know. It's retail. Brand showcase. I know that's the
Yeah, that's kind
so
of
I won't go there,
it, yeah, it's above my pay grade.
Chair, my rationale for this, and it seems so simple, I understand how frustrating this must be for you. Please try and understand that other people watching this who have monument signs and can benefit from a relaxation of the way we've treated monument signs recently, and even well into the past since we've been a city. Like I said, I'm fine with the new monument sign without the open sign. But my concern is that the open is really a subordinate set of information to the primary set of information that a monument sign is intended for.
All right, well then, given that, and I can see the drift of the opinion, could we continue this and give us the opportunity to try to come up with a different approach that doesn't incorporate open?
Okay, someone want to make a motion to that?
I motion to continue item F1 till the next meeting that the applicant is available for.
I'll second that.
If we could do date certain, then
27th of September.
Before, though, I'd like to put a thing out for discussion before it's voted on. Is it possible through the sign regulations, if once someone sees that Deckers brand showcase sign and drives in, that on the building where the showcase is located, there be an open or closed sign?
The whole different set of apples and oranges at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, I think what we're talking about here is this sign.
Right, so, right. The monument sign.
Yeah. I was just looking for an alternative train of thought.
What you're suggesting is it may not preclude us from putting an open side inside the window as other businesses in the community have done. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Those opposed? Okay, so we are continued to 9:27.
I would like to acknowledge that all of your company's input into the community has been great. So.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I just want to acknowledge that.
It's
a great facility.
We enjoy being a part of the community. We enjoy giving back, and we enjoy being where we are. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. Thanks.
All right. With that, we will move to our conceptual review calendar. Madam Secretary, will you introduce the item?
Item G1 is the Goleta Neighborhood Clinic Expansion Phase 2, located at 5582 Calareal, case number 16-121 DRB.
Thank you.
This is for conceptual review. The project includes a 7,390 square foot building on a 0.69 acre lot in the professional and institutional zone district. The existing tenant is a medical clinic and occupies approximately 49% of the building floor area and would like to expand into the remaining space. The project involves exterior alterations to windows on the north elevation, new exit doors to the west and south elevations, and new landscaping improvements. The project also involves the enclosure of two roofed porches, resulting in a 421 square foot addition for a total proposed building size of 7,811 square foot.
Greetings. Introduce yourself and
thank you. Francis Rachopi, Design Studios Collaborative.
Robert Adams, Landscape Architect.
In the audience, we have Melissa McDermott from the clinic. Goleta Clinic. So, to begin with, we are looking
if
at.
If you're going to use these, let me pull them up okay. here so we can zoom out and so they can
that'll be great.
See this on the tube.
To the color. In order to accommodate the expansion of the clinic,
okay.
We're dealing with a phase two. Phase one was accomplished about a year ago, which is this left side, my left side here. Part of the determination of requirements, well, some of the requirements, was an expansion of the existing waiting room in addition of a kid's playroom, which is basically in this corner here and is part of the original phase one. That new waiting room actually captures an area that was a covered porch. So we're not expanding beyond the roof line, but we are taking advantage of that corner outdoor space.
Okay.
Similarly, on this side, which would be our west side, we have a requirement for lectures for some public meetings or associated with the organization, and had a requirement for an expansion of what would be a conference room that would be able to be split into two, but that again recaptures an open porch area in that corner. So given those two,
or that angled
entrance that exists now, correct?
Okay.
And simultaneously we're adding some windows at the rear elevation to the north to bring some light into some of the additional spaces that we're adding.
And so this area and this area is the only footage being added?
The only footage being added, and it's approximately 421 square feet.
Okay.
Again, under existing roof for the existing roof line.
Okay.
And again, some window additions to the north side and the parking lot side. So those are about the only elevation changes. The elevation changes, move forward. Are introduced here. And again, altered a little bit from the cadence of the existing window fenestration to create actually a point of entrance and a point of recognition of the two terminal points of those of the building in the front elevation.
Okay.
In addition to that, as we move forward, there are some changes. There are some existing landscape walls, which maybe we could see better on the landscape plan.
One second. What about the, I guess the north elevation where you've got the new
windows?
Well, no, where the kids' waiting room and stuff.
To the south. Okay.
Or.
Yes.
Oh, right. Yes, right. Yes, yes, yes. Sorry. Got it. Yep. Yeah, okay.
Okay. So moving to the site, and maybe you might bring this forward. Given the patient flow and schedule appointments, there's certainly some overlap, and we do have a contingency of parents and children that frequent the facility. So we were looking for opportunities to create some outdoor space as opposed to just the parking lot. In the front, which would be the south and to the west, right now this is totally, it's basically a concrete pad on the exterior of the building that basically surrounds the entire building. So our thought is to recapture some of that space, obviously remove the concrete, create a DG component, create some softness to that area. And also there's a screen which we've introduced, which tops off at 42 inches, just to create some privacy with a little gated area for the occupants, or to be at least protected from the traffic that's on Calle Real and some of the noise as well. We've introduced, and I don't want to jump into the landscape, but go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, yeah, and jump in wherever you want.
Go ahead.
But anyway, so what we're doing at this new room, it's being glassed in, is we're creating a screen of trees that can be packed tightly together. There's a drop tolerant ground, very low ground cover out here, and we're taking out a lot of concrete.
Yes, of course.
As well. Yeah. There are some site walls here that
correct
that we're
exist.
We're going to keep. So we're going to layer planting, very drought tolerant, water conserving planting here, do some improvements here. There's a bench here, screens, gates, decomposed granite area, and this is the bike area?
Yes, and bike parking as well.
Bike parking, introducing that. Permeable paving here, new bench right here. This is an existing planter that's been recently completed. We just want to keep that. It's very nice. And there are other areas we're going to plant that aren't planted now. We're keeping existing trees on site, which are basically, you know, deciduous trees, and adding some evergreens. And then here, really there's some big improvements in the parking lot where there's not much landscaping against an existing fence, and we're just adding ground covers and periodic trees, the drought-tolerant strawberry tree out on this peripheral to improve that, and filling in some planters again with a drought-tolerant approach. We're in a time of water conservation, so we have irrigation plans that indicate water-conserving irrigation equipment. So, Francis, you want to add any other
just
features?
We're adding lighting, parking lot lighting, which we've introduced, which does not exist at this point. There's some lighting on the building that basically is
and
floodlights.
Here are the fixtures for the parking
yes,
lot?
Yes, those are the fixtures, they're LEDs. And we're adding some bollards along the walkways to create some subtle lighting and illuminate the walkways as well. We have some lighting at the building under the soffits, some basic really recessed lighting to give some lighting all in these pocket areas that's basically subdued.
Okay.
Oh, we also have some planters, concrete planters in different earth tones with drought-tolerant plantings in the containers just to kind of dress up, you know, the edges of the doors or, you know, below some of the existing windows.
Okay. All right.
So those are the components.
Okay. Very good. Has everybody visited the site?
Site visit? No ex parte.
Not a specific site visit, but I'm very familiar with the property, but no ex parte.
I have visited the site and no ex parte.
I drive by it daily. No ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
All right. Any questions for the applicant?
Yes, Jerry, I actually had a couple of questions, so I don't mind just getting us started here.
Sure.
The new conference room, it has, is it a floor-to-ceiling windows?
Yes.
Are those openable or
no,
are those locked?
No, not operable. They're closed. Yeah.
So is there air conditioning?
Yes.
Into that new space?
Yes, it is. And one of the reasons we've added the trees are twofold. One is because it's west exposure, and we get some, obviously, some shading. And the second is it is a noisy corner. Even on the inside, you could hear.
As I did the site visit, I noticed that the location of the parking lot and the actual entrances to the facility are kind of, people have to kind of walk to get to where the entrances, and the entrances are nice. Along Calle Real, it is appreciated, and it seems like a well-maintained facility as well. You know, obviously it would involve a significant internal change, but entrance from the north is mm-hmm. actually the most convenient for clients. I recognize that that's where staff are coming in, and that's not necessarily what you would want to do. People sort of have to maneuver and walk around the building to get to the new, to the existing doorways that are kind of located away from where most of the parking is located. Are there going to be some new planters, or are you just replanting existing planters?
Well, everything is new. This is new, but this is existing here. These fingers are existing.
Right.
This is already planted. These are neglected, and these are all existing. Most of it's existing, but this is kind of a new invention of this sort of entry plaza and some permeable pavers on this edge, too, to kind of dress up that entry.
And to answer your question, in the phase two, we've introduced new entrances because the function within the clinic is slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a medical portion, which was the phase one, where we're adding some pediatric exam rooms as well internally. But this area will be a counseling clinic with a separate entrance so that it would be accessible more directly from the parking area. And similarly, for outside events or for administrative purposes, there's an entrance for that as well. And so we've kind of taken the building and broken it apart a bit to create several entrances, not getting in on one side and having to travel back.
So, that makes sense. So. How much of the landscaping will be using drip emitters?
Everything.
Everything.
I'm not planning on using anything but drip on no spray.
Sure.
I might use the sort of underground net of them drip in very low areas, but the rest of it is drip to the root ball.
Okay. And regarding the fixtures, the lighting fixtures, maybe in particular for the bollards, are those dark sky compliant fixtures?
Yes, they are. They are, and we also have the ability, we did some quick analysis of photometrics for both the parking lot light and the bollards, and we have an ability to screen with the diodes and LEDs. We can actually create or eliminate hotspots so that we can concentrate the illumination away. It's always will be down, but against, you know, from reflecting on the building or on other objects that we don't want to illuminate. So,
and the lighting under the soffits on Carrial, is there going to be quite a few of those, or just a few of those?
Just a few of those. I believe there are three in the front area, and that really adds to what's happening in this area without adding more, you know, lighting or more structured lighting, just to get some down lighting and just diffuse it. And they're 7 or 8 watts, I believe. Okay. I mean, it's a very minimal.
And thank you for bearing with me. My last
question
is the temporary sign that's on the pole sign on the front.
Yes.
When is that expected to be completed? Because that kind of detracts from.
Of course. The sign is slated, though the pole is slated to be removed in this phase. So that will not be an issue. We have not addressed, because the clinic just took over the space, so they weren't sure who was going to occupy the space and how the signage would go. We are going to address signage as the second part of this.
And did you say the pole was going to be
removed? The pole will be removed, and there will not be a sign there. I mean, presently, that pole will be removed, which is about 20 or 30 feet high.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for that information.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Tom, you have any questions?
No, I do not. Not this time.
Yep.
I'm glad to hear the pole's going away.
Happy.
The question is on the screen, on this little screen,
yes.
Screen wall that runs.
I'm sorry. You want to see? There's an elevation.
Oh, there we go.
You want me to hold it?
Yeah, let's find that.
Let's just talk about this.
Plan. Okay.
As I understand. How tall is the wall?
The maximum height, the wall, depending on where it sits, somewhere around 15 inches high now.
The existing masonry
wall? Mm-hmm. Based on the concrete surface that's
right,
on the inside.
Right, that's on the inside.
So our maximum height with our new screen on top of that would be 42 inches.
Okay.
So that would be the max at any point.
Okay. I guess I have some concerns about that. I think... The design of that is really nice, and what you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think the problem becomes as the neighborhood Baxter comes down Kellogg and hits the stoplight.
Yes.
The and maybe it's a matter of where the limit line is. I don't know, but
we
when
stop
you
here,
with our screen.
I understand that. Okay. Don't just, but as you stop at that stoplight, mm-hmm. or the stop, yeah, the stoplight, and wait, you can't see traffic coming right now. The majority of that is not based upon the concrete wall. It's based upon the existing planting.
Mm-hmm.
But my point, I guess, is if you take out all that planting, which is going in the right direction, but you now replace it with this screen wall, I'm just worried about the visual there.
Okay.
Of cars coming, stopping there. I mean, literally, like I said, I drive it every day.
Sure.
As you come out, whether you're turning to go east on Kyrial or mm-hmm. west on Kyrial, west is actually probably a little worse because you don't have to wait for the light.
Right.
You have to pull way out in order to see past the bushes, the existing bushes.
Right turn,
yes.
Okay. Thank
so I just, at the moment, while I like what's going on here, mm-hmm. I think you're actually making that situation worse. That's what I would tell you.
Okay.
Now, obviously, you can go out and look at it for yourself and decide,
sure.
But that would be my
take
on it.
There's got to be some standard of a safety sight triangle.
Which, there is. Yeah, there is, right.
There is. Our wall, and I was pointing to it earlier, you know it stops here.
Yeah.
So we have quite a bit of distance before that wall impacts.
Right. I'm guessing you'll be outside the public works triangle.
Yes.
But telling you what...
We'll determine that
right.
for it. Sure.
I think that's my only question, quote, at the moment.
Thank you.
Aaron?
I don't think I have any questions, just
okay.
a few comments.
Double A?
No questions.
Any questions?
I was interested in how the people are going to get from the parking lot into the building.
Sure.
And especially with kids and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like number 29, is that a handicap spot in the corner there?
In this corner, yes.
Mm-hmm.
You're,
yes, yeah, and
there,
35?
There are two handicap spots in that corner.
She's probably looking
at this.
I'm looking at the architectural site
yeah.
plan.
Okay.
A1.
31.
No, it's that one, yeah.
Right. Correct. There are two existing handicap spots at that point.
The two on the other side, 29 and...
Oh,
29
over there.
Here.
Is 29
yes,
a handicap?
They
and
are
35?
Not. Yeah.
They're not
29 men. Is not a handicap spot and 30 is not.
Okay.
And the distances between, we've calculated the distances, and it's a wash. If we move that, it's going to be longer one way and shorter the other way, or shorter one way and the other way. It's a little bit problematic as if we were to slide that one way or another.
I yeah.
don't see it, but we did do a quick study of distance from these spots.
Yeah, well, I see you have the entrance from the parking lot here in the center. Yeah. So as people park their cars, they're going to walk across and come into the center to get up onto the sidewalk.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if we could have another entrance on the Kellogg side by sliding those guys over a little bit. We can then... So
I'll create another walkway.
Another entrance to that walkway. And then my follow-up question is, does this walkway and the DG component go all the way around to the front entrance? That makes sense, or is it closed off here where you stop?
It's closed off.
It is closed off.
The DG stops at the two points of the new permeable pavers, so
okay.
it's only around the.
So people can't get through this way.
They can walk that way, yes.
Oh, they can
through
walk
there, yeah.
through,
but it doesn't continue. The material doesn't continue, but it,
but
it
there's
is,
no section.
There's
off.
No, it's not sectioned off.
Okay.
Yeah.
yeah. So then that would be
yeah.
like, I don't know if we have suggestions or how we do it, but that there's some sort of entrance so that people who end up parking on this, on the Kellogg side, can come and maybe come around that way.
As opposed to going back to this point. I get you. Sure.
Just
we can take a look at that.
It's a tiny little thing. And same
do you mean by a HC spot?
No, she's side? Talking about a pedestrian access.
I see.
Pedestrian
gotcha.
Access. Yeah,
near
and also.
29.
Somewhere near 29
yeah.
or maybe in that planter or somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or wherever you, I mean, you think
sure.
it's going to be better. Just to direct people
mm-hmm.
so that they're not having to walk
and the same thing happens over here on the opposite side, is as if you park in any of these early ones, you have no entrance to the walkway. So everyone's going to have to walk with their kids along this place where people mm-hmm. do actually pull in quite fast.
Yes.
Right from Calera. So maybe is it possible to have another pedestrian sure. entrance somewhere along there just to mm-hmm. get them off of the road right where people are pulling in for the drive?
Yes.
That was my thing. And then my second question is about the wood screening. It looks like it's see-through.
Yes.
It is see-through.
Yes. Okay. And that was to make it a little bit less heavy and to make it more of a screen, less an offense. That was the intent.
That's a good idea. Thank you.
Why don't we come back the way it seems you kind of morphed into comments, which is good because I didn't have any questions as well. Okay. So.
Oh, sorry. Did I?
No, that's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Any comments? Okay.
I think those were good comments about providing walkways in the planters. You've got decomposed granite in places, so maybe you can use that material. I'm pretty good with the project overall. I guess these would be more suggestions than one comment. On the architectural site plan, the paver detail.
Yes.
I know this working because of a few projects with the city of Santa Barbara I'm working on. I would check the International Paving Institute detail for permeable because you've got to specify more items on here to make it a true permeable
yes,
detail.
You need gravel between, exactly. Yeah.
So, and I commend you on making the pavers permeable.
Thank you.
So suggestions, the comment Carl made about the site triangle, you should definitely look at that.
Okay.
You know, things like leucodendron right on the corner there might.
Sure, I immediately saw that. I was drawing a triangle. Yeah.
The tristaniopsis, I'm fine with that. I don't think you need to pick a street tree in that location because it's not in the public right of way.
You know, I saw that those. I know that, but and I thought, maybe I don't need to. And I had about three trees, and then I really like the narrowness of these trees and kind of the sort of not wide canopy
okay.
of that. And I wanted some structure there, so I wanted to tighten them up. So I thought, Tristania's, because I saw that example at Whole Foods. I think they use some, and I really like
okay.
that.
Okay, if you feel
canopy.
Strongly about that as a grove tree, then go.
I mean, I thought it worked as a grove because it wasn't like this horizontal branching. At other times, I had cassia,
yeah.
I had cassia leptophylla, I had some other considerations. I really liked how that tree behaved, and I think I even called the architect. I said, I found our tree.
Okay.
Because we do want this structural grove effect.
Okay.
And then it ended up on the street
tree.
It just seemed
like an odd choice for a grove tree, but you sound like you've really.
Well, you know, I see a lot of trees go wider, and I hate trunks just growing into each other and becoming like a big mishmash. I like form. The other thing I've seen too is, and I don't know if you've seen this, but at the bowl they have some beautiful poplars that are thriving. I know those use probably a lot of water. But they have a whole row in front of the box office, and those are, I don't even know what kind they are, maybe white poplar, but they also sort of have that handsome form that I was looking for some kind of evergreen approach. But believe me, there are six trees on this plan. Finally, I said, that's just perfect, you know, because when you find something, an example around, you know, it can work, because that's where it is. It's not in a book.
I like your passion.
Is that crazy?
Yeah. I'm going to shut up about that tree choice. Other than that, I think everything, I'm on board with everything. I like the fence, screen fence detail. I'm generally in support of the project.
Okay. Carl?
Okay, happy to hear that the pole sign is going away. That's a good thing.
A little bit out of scale for that building.
A little bit. And I guess I have two questions,
sure.
One which I've already voiced, which is that whole screen thing and how
mm-hmm.
that works with cars
okay.
coming out and looking down there.
We'll examine that.
And at least from my stand, I mean, while there is a defined probably triangle based upon public works, I'm not sure that'll do it, but if it meets that, then at least you've met that.
Okay.
And we can
we'll certainly
that.
Examine
yeah.
that.
And then I guess I'm wondering about why, and I understand you changed the glazing
on the corner.
Yeah, well on both corners,
yes.
Really. And
yes.
Not only did you do that, right now the building reads from three sides anyway, not from the parking lot side, reads as if they are these brick elements with the glass set back,
mm-hmm.
and you block the glass out to the edge of the brick.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a small building. I just question the need to create the difference in the glazing pattern that you've done. Maybe that's just me, and maybe everybody else on the board is okay. So I just want to throw that out as
sure.
a possibility of,
okay.
from my standpoint, I'd like you to restudy it. And maybe it's as simple, I don't know if it's what you want to do with the pattern, but I don't know if you can push those glass walls back even, you know, 6 inches or a foot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if that does much to you inside, but anyway. But other than those things, obviously it's well thought out, and yeah. Okay.
Tom?
Generally, I'm kind of along with Aaron. I generally like this project, and like Carl, I'm happy to see that the pole sign's coming down.
Right.
That's about the only comments I have.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bill, any comments?
This is concept review, so
mm-hmm.
this will be coming back.
That's
and
right.
So for me, it would be helpful listening to the other board members' comments. One that just came up, maybe a before and after visual depiction of the new glass enclosed area and what the difference will be between the existing glass and the new glass, if you're using different kinds of glazing, and
mm-hmm.
how that might look to see
okay.
whether it looks better, appropriate, or whether
yeah.
there's some issues.
Yeah, there were, and if I can exchange my thoughts here, if it's appropriate, if not, I'll,
sure.
I'll defer. One of the things about the building, and it is so rhythmic and regular that, and the glass is bronze, so you can't see what's happening inside, yeah, even with the lights on, even at night. And so it's very difficult to get clues to where the entrance is, where the door is, where the front is, where the side is. And so part of that thought pattern was to create that visual cue on the exterior, and also to switch up the glazing so that you could actually see that it's a waiting area and there are people inside, there's activity in there. And the pattern really set the anchor of the building, I mean, at least in my own mind. But again, that was my thought in approaching the design, but we'll certainly look at and take your suggestion and looking at the alternatives.
Okay.
That's what it was. But.
And I wasn't saying that what you're proposing is flawed
mm-hmm.
at all. I just like to maybe see some sort of visual depiction
sure.
of how that would actually look.
Okay.
Were I to look at it 6 months from now.
Great. Okay. We certainly will.
Yes. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay.
Carl?
No.
this is really more for staff. Have you, I mean, they show that they meet the parking requirements, so I'm assuming they do. Have
yes.
you had an opportunity to verify that the 40 spaces meets the 39 space requirement?
I have not looked into that yet, but I can next time.
Okay.
I'm in favor of this. I think it's, the only question I had when I went out there was, I hadn't really thought about the setback aspect of the windows, but the only thing I really questioned was the the mutton pattern in the glazing on those corners, and certainly not a deal killer for me, but it is an anomaly.
Yes.
And I don't know. I mean, there've been other comments on it as well, so maybe look at that. But I think overall, I'm in complete support of it. So. So we're here for conceptual,
right.
And so we need to get a motion to move it on. So
no, we're just collecting your comments for the conceptual. And
oh, we don't make a motion for conceptual?
Nope.
Before it comes
and
back?
The applicant can coordinate with the planner for scheduling next.
Do we need a date certain
nope.
at this point?
No, but September 27th is available. If
okay. We're open to preliminary, too.
Yeah, that was taken away from us.
Okay. Oh, it was? Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't get us started.
Thanks. Thanks for bringing that up.
All right. Well, thank you guys very much.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Appreciate your comments as well.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Good comments.
All right. Our next item G2, Madam Secretary.
Item G2 is the Harvest Hill Ranch, Lot 1, located at 870 Cambridge Drive, case number 16122 DRB.
Can I get declarations?
Site visit, no ex parte.
No current site visit, but I have visited several times before, but no ex parte.
I visited the site today. Stuff's going on. No ex parte.
Site visit, I got kicked off the site by your construction superintendent. No ex parte.
After hours.
You hire a good staff.
He lives on site.
Your staff should be commended.
No recent site visit, but I've visited the site in the past, and no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit and ex parte today.
Oh, okay. Brian?
Thank you, Chair, and welcome, Ms. Clinton. It's good to see you. Down there at the end. All right, so this one you may find familiar. This, when we looked at it during the subdivision, this was known as Lot 1. It's now called 870 Cambridge Drive. And it's kind of the first one you run into as you get to the site coming up Cambridge Drive. And so you drive, it's the first driveway that you get to of the two driveways on the 7-lot subdivision. The concept in front of you here is slightly different than the concept that was on the subdivision plan. The applicant brought the driveway a little closer to the front of the property and moved the fire retention basin toward the front as well. As far as planning's concerns, it meets all of the R1 zone district standards, of course. It's a rather large lot. And also there's attached to your staff report the specific design guidelines that were approved along with the track map. So this dwelling was designed with those in mind. And so remember, we have a kind of a buildable envelope on these, then a manicured section for landscaping that's around the house, and then a second section of landscaping that is less manicured, more native, and or orchard in intent. I don't think we've got landscaping quite yet because we're at conceptual still, but those are things to keep in mind as you take a look. And I can answer any questions about it from staff standpoint. Otherwise, throw it over to Rich and the architect.
Okay. Rich?
Mr. Chair, members of the board, Rich Ridgeway with the Harvest Hill Project. And this lot number one, as Brian expressed, has a change from the original overall project drainage plan. And what we did when we rough graded the site before the winter rains, we had planned three different basins right up against the eastern edge of the property. And those were to take road drainage, but also roof drainage from lot number four. And as we experienced what limited rain we had last year, we had some pretty intensive rains. And so those basins ended up getting a lot of water in them. And then we found out we had some gopher hole issues and those things would just flush right out. And we got some phone calls from several of the neighbors concerned about the long-term viability of these basins kind of hovering over their backyards. And there's a pretty significant grade change between our property to their backyards. And so we got with Everett and Brian at the city and we said, could we redesign our drainage so that we get these three basins that are on the eastern edge actually out of the plan and bring everything to one larger basin at the project entrance. And so we did all the calculations and proved the volumes were right. And so that was the design that you see here. Since that time, we started grading and there's a pretty small change on the basin shape. You can see that really the lengthened finger was eliminated because when we started digging the basin, we got down to the prescribed depth that the engineers wanted, and we still had a layer of clay, and so it wasn't perking well. And we noticed that just another foot and a half down, we hit all sand, and all of a sudden we did the perk test, and everything just went whoosh. And so the decision was, hey, let's deepen the basin, but then we can eliminate the long finger. And so it has same capacity as it always had. And we have all the calculations to back that up. So that's why you see what today is the basin. And we actually have installed it. Here's a picture of it. And some of you, if you did site visits, you probably saw it. Depending on when you did your site visit, you probably saw a 7-foot hole. Because we have like 5 feet of rock, 3/4-inch rock, and then we have another 18 inches of sand and mulch on top of that. So that's what ends up as our finished product. Then we're going to landscape that nicely. So I think it'll be kind of a feature for the entrance to the project. It won't be like an ugly institutional retention basin.
Right.
So that's why the change. And the neighbors, I think, are happier that those basins don't hover over them.
Sure, sure.
And so then on the house, I'll let Richard talk about it, but
okay.
Richard, go on. There we go. Richard Thorne, the architect for the project. The basic concept of the floor plan is quite similar to the original one that was done at the time of the subdivision. The difference is we moved the entry from the back portion, which was in here, to this side so that we could generate a larger backyard, got rid of all of the paving that was back there. That was a motor court originally, if you recall, and the garage was over in here. And because of the way the grades were working out with the street, we realized it was very simple for us to park under the master bedroom core with the garage. And so that's what's happened. So then we come around and come up the front. So when you're driving now into the project, you get a front of house shot, not a back of house shot. And I think it's very handsome for the arrival of that, plus the way that that basin has come in now. Once that gets brought up to grade, I think it's going to look very impressive as an entry point for the project because all of those lots that come off of it. So the home basically is structured around a axis that comes in. And the volume on that goes side to side. And then you have the two wings that swing out, this wing being kind of the family wing and that being the master office wing that goes off to the other side. And all of that opens to the rear yard to a deck, a covered deck, covered porch area all the way around to create that outside entertainment space in which family function can happen off of, also master bedroom and office den. Then on this side, because of the views, we have a lot of glass and fenestration and also decks here because that's the prime views from the house. When you're literally up there on that site, you get just beautiful shots down towards the ocean.
Nice.
On the lower level, here's where we have the three-car garage, and then we have a shop area. This is basically like a basement at this point because we're back into the grade. This point is the point that daylights at this, and then this is full depth back here. So all of this back in here is basically a basement-type space and generated a shop and storage area for the house. And it has an interior stair that goes down to that space. The architectural character is right out of the original design philosophy for the house, mm-hmm. as it was presented at the subdivision. It's just, like I say, turned around, so to speak, the point of entry being here. We come in, go up a staircase up to the main entrance, come into this roof, which is an access that goes through, and then this is the balcony that wraps around the front of the house. And the back of the house is very, very low-key, broken-pitched, covered porch.
All this back
all the way
here,
across the back, mm-hmm. With just that one punctuation point being the point where the entry reads through the house.
Nice. Okay. So, questions from the board?
Chair, if I might, before getting to questions, I wanted to talk a bit about the size of the dwelling. I forgot to mention that earlier.
Okay.
So the proposal is for 3,585 square feet single family residence and 1,002 square foot three car garage. The FAR on this, again, it's a rather large lot. So the FAR on this allowed is over 4,000 square feet. So quite a bit under what's allowed for the FAR guidelines. So
right.
That was okay. The only thing I wanted to add to my presentation from earlier.
Okay. Real quick, before we do questions, we have a couple of speaker slips here. So, first, is it Karen Dick?
Sure, my husband's going to speak first, if that's all right.
All right. And you are Robert.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Just a couple quick questions. Rich was kind enough to come by our house a couple weeks ago. He brought us up to date about the change in the basins. We're very happy about getting rid of that basin above us. So that's great. I did observe that there are now 6,327 square feet if you add up the house, the garage, and the covered patios. Now, are the covers on the patios pergola-type covers or what?
They're just a low-pitch, a break-pitch
pitch,
covered
okay.
Solid roofing.
Okay, solid roofing. Okay, so that's a 6,300 and change non-permeable, basically equivalent to hardscape. And that connects into the actual question, which is that's a neat looking storm feature. I'm glad that you were able to hit sand, get through the clay, because that whole hill is kind of a fudge ripple of clay and sand. That's what I found in my yard. I'm in the county, by the way. I'm right below the development. Well, and so is she.
I would think so.
right now.
Well, 51 years so, I'm hoping it'll last. The new stormwater feature is not described in the Exhibit A narrative. And in previous storm water features, which we were extremely interested in, obviously, there's a lot of engineering detail in the additional exhibits. There's none here, and even though we live below Lot 4, the functionality of this and the amount of drop from our yard is of a little more than passing interest. So will there be a narrative coming out and engineering drawings and things like that?
Well, I did bring these, and so...
let me take a shot at that before we go there. So what we're asking the board for today, remember, it's an aesthetic board. So the discussion of stormwater is really just that for this board.
Mm-hmm.
The technical aspects of it are reviewed by our Public Works Department separately from the design.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we're definitely interested in hearing from the board on, you know, at the surface, what kind of landscaping we're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if there's some sort of decorative soil or DG that would work, you know, those are kind of the design related comments we're asking for currently. But there definitely will be a thorough review of all of the stormwater aspects of the job.
Okay. Is there documentation available now that we can go look at?
We haven't begun that yet. No.
Oh, okay.
So we're simply at the stage of just conceptual review of their design. So once we get a little further and the project becomes more, stable and we know the extent of what it's going to be,
mm-hmm.
that's when the official review of stormwater
okay.
will be completed.
I was confused because it's, like about two or three, this has been a long process,
yeah.
and there were two or three meetings ago, one or two meetings ago, we did go into stormwater in detail with the engineering drawings and all that sort of stuff. So I'm kind of confused
that was at the design review stage. So right now we're at the conceptual stage, and so
we've stepped back from
right,
more
because
actual
we're
to
doing,
conceptual.
We're
no,
doing
it's a different
lot.
Processing prior.
Uh-huh.
We were reviewing the lot configuration really and
uh-huh.
the aesthetic issues with that. Now we're coming back and looking at the houses on each lot.
Oh, I see. The houses. Okay.
Yeah, so we had done, during the subdivision process, we had done a fair amount of looking into
right.
to stormwater before the
right.
subdivision was
right.
approved itself. There have been some proposed changes to that,
mm-hmm.
Which, are in the process of being reviewed currently.
Okay.
And can I interject here? After the meeting, why
yeah.
don't we go out and I'll share
cool.
it because I have had it all engineered and looked at by soils guys and civils and capacity of basins, so I'll get
yeah.
Okay.
I figured that you had yeah. jumped ahead on this.
I jumped
that,
ahead.
That we could go
because we actually needed
straight
to build
to
it as part of the site work.
And that's
right.
fine. It's just I want to make sure we
yeah,
limit the comments
sure that we,
to conceptual design review.
I just had one observation, and that is there appears to be a the road elevation will be an issue that we'll want to take up with you because we've talked about that. But I just noticed there's either an error in the drawing or a rather steep change in the road elevation. It looks like there's a 12-foot change from 168 feet to 80 feet. I can point it out on the drawing.
You can point it out over
sure.
here.
Right there. Okay, I'll have to go around there. It may have been the resolution on the website that...
Here's your pointer.
All right, great. I was reading a number. What?
It was 170, 169,
and
168.
And how many yards is that?
Oh, no, there was,
okay, that's 170. Okay, it looks like 180 on the... Yeah, okay.
Hey, Bob, after, I'm going back out there. Why don't we go walk it?
Yeah, cool.
Okay.
All right. On the website, I've got a giant 30-inch graphics monitor, and this number appeared to be 180.
Okay.
So I'm done.
Okay. Karen, would you like to say anything?
I'm kind of concerned about the road as well, and I think this does tie into landscaping because, and I'm not sure what the elevation of the road is, but if you've been to the property, I think you've probably seen that our homes we're on Via Bolzano, that our homes are tall two-story homes. The bedrooms are on the second floor, and so not too far down from where the road is our bedroom windows, so you can imagine what we're concerned about, and in particular the lights at night. So I was wondering if the elevation, if the change in the elevation of the road and the and I don't know if you've changed the the placement of the road at all. No. But so I am interested in what these, there are some in this old drawing, some circles for plants, but we're definitely interested in planting or some kind of screening so that as people drive down that road at night, it's not directly.
Right.
In fact, right now I'm going to have to put in new bedroom windows. And what I think I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to put in old-fashioned European shutters where they don't open, but where it will block out everything. So, I mean,
it's a problem. Let's do a walk, and then we'll just,
yeah.
You'll see.
Yeah.
Kim,
yeah.
Before you go, just for project description standpoint, my understanding is that the access road, if we'll call it, the access road is the same as what was proposed and approved on the subdivision.
Mm-hmm.
What changed was the driveway to the house, which is
okay.
Now proposed to be here.
Right.
Originally had been
around, over
came around
two.
The back.
Yeah,
right.
Mm-hmm. Didn't it go through there?
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what the change is. The entitlement for the subdivision established this, so that's not
mm-hmm.
in question.
That hasn't changed.
Mm-hmm. And it can't be changed without, you know.
Well, I was wondering about the grading in back of our house, so I thought perhaps you had changed the road.
No. Some of that is excess dirt that's going to be backfilled against foundations on the house that's almost permitted.
Right.
Okay.
So you see some loose dirt that's going to move back again.
Let's just walk it tonight.
Well,
you'll see.
We do see the cars up there, and since a lot of the old large trees
mm-hmm.
have been removed.
Mm-hmm.
I know
the
that
eucalyptus.
You've replanted
mm-hmm.
with new oak or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but right now the new plantings are small, and the cars that are going there to the existing
mm-hmm.
occupied domicile
mm-hmm.
are
mm-hmm.
tremendously visible now. To
mm-hmm.
us.
And if we can see them, they can see
sure.
us.
And that's where we work together
yeah.
on the whole line
okay.
between me and you with
mm-hmm.
landscaping, which will be the next house that we come for lot 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just work with you on that. Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions? Bill? I'm going to morph this into questions and comments.
Yeah, let's see.
I think maybe it did have.
I think it's pretty clear.
Not understanding completely the grade elevation as you're driving up Cambridge, heading north, and where the actual windows in the front of this house will be. Is there any issue of light from high-profile windows,
you know,
as they come up the road?
This would be
this
the
home?
Elevation that would be subject to any lighting coming up. And if we look at this, this is the kitchen. And
yes. Kitchen. And
yeah, and you'll see the kitchen elevation. If we go to that.
We got
went really high triangle
glass.
Yeah,
story
yeah
it's
tall.
There?
Yeah.
Is right there.
It's yeah,
this,
these guys.
And then there's a window in that
blank
that
window
wall that goes back, but it's inside
up.
Under
so
the deck.
So this is the one that faces Cambridge.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
I have no windows in the kitchen other than real high glass. And then as you come around the corner some more, I have a bathroom window and a laundry window.
Mm-hmm.
But right. really tried to minimize.
Yeah, you don't get into bedrooms until you get way to the end of it all.
Got it.
But there's also a pretty good grade change when you look at the contour between
right.
here
there
and
is.
Here. It's
well,
177
yeah.
to,
yeah.
if you start
right.
talking about that intersection, you're down
yeah.
there quite a ways.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then one other thing just to comment on, you'll see this was in the original design, still going to be like designed. We needed some cutting back of the bank in this location here, about 3 feet, because if you come out in a car here, they wanted to be able to see a certain
right.
telephone pole here, which was about 250 feet, and that's based on speed of traffic and ability
mm-hmm.
to adjust. And because cars travel beyond the posted speed, they lengthened that. And so this is going to have a little small, only about knee high, but a rock wall. And then this is no plantings, is just cobble. And so we're going to put that at sidewalk grade.
Okay.
And so it's going to be as you see. And then we're going to hopefully come back to you after you guys give us approval and work on our working drawings and landscape plans.
Okay.
Won't that create a lot of hardscape to have a sidewalk and then a But wall the, and then cobble?
Yes, yes. Well, I can't have any plantings that grow up on
right
here. That was an
issue.
It
was a condition of approval from Public Works on mm-hmm. the subdivision due to the site distance.
I would agree with you. There's going to be a bit of hardscape feel there. It's going to be like a cobblestone street. But it's at, you know, sidewalk level, so visibility can see here to this
and it
point.
And it was conditioned that way. So. Yeah.
It was. A lot of engineering and traffic studies.
Tom? Questions or comments?
I have no questions, but as far as comments go, I like what I see. I think it's very well laid out. I think this house is... it's all staying true to the original vision of this development, and although it's not a purview of this board, I would just mention my approval and commendation of you guys wanting to reach out and work with your neighbors so well on this.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's a great project, other than your superintendent's little chihuahua.
That's Solomon. He's not a chihuahua, he's a Pomeranian.
Oh, is he?
Oops.
I'm in support of the project. I'm just, based upon what I'm seeing, I think calling that a covered deck is... Isn't this pretty much on grade? So that's not
yes.
really a deck.
It's not
covered porch.
Porch is
pretty,
probably
porch
a better
is probably
porch.
A better.
Yes.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
it is
yeah,
great.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, I think it's great.
Yes.
Yeah.
Questions? Is that a wall around the detention basin, that crosshatch here?
Oh, yeah. That actually was indicating an impermeable barrier. And so there's a thick visqueen. If anybody ever drove up there and saw it, it's a real thick liner that stops water from going horizontal.
Got it. I was wondering.
But it all disappears.
Yeah, it's underground.
Yeah. Yeah.
This isn't part on this property, but I noticed on that photo that eucalyptus is really struggling.
Oh, I wanted to bring that up. Just to go on the record, that is not on my property. It sits off property, and here it is, and it died. And I don't know what my ability is to take that out. Now, there is a discussion happening with Edison, because Edison's serving this from a pole across the street, and their guy wires go right through the middle of this eucalyptus. You can probably see them on the picture. And so they may be taking the step of removing that tree. And they did it further down the track. A pine tree had mm-hmm. died, and they had a guy wire coming across, and they said, we're taking it out. And I was happy they did that. So that eucalyptus that you see there, it died, and it's a problem, and it's not mine. And I want everybody to know that I only started trenching
so
yesterday, so I didn't kill it.
When you said the project... Oh, you're coming underground from the pole.
Yes, yeah, coming underground.
And so right now the wires that are coming overhead
are to a guy wire here that strengthen that, because the poles go this way, so a guy wire goes through the middle of that tree.
Okay.
And so as soon as I start trenching by there with my dry utility, somebody's going to say, I killed the tree. It's already dead. So...
You want to sign that?
So I want to go on record. I didn't do that.
Yeah.
Well... It was a nice tree.
There's some, yeah, I mean, the drought's hurting a lot of trees.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Comments, I think the architecture's great. No comments with that. Just the slope between the basin and the house. Mm-hmm. I know you've got some other boulder bank walls throughout the site. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe think about incorporating a boulder bank halfway through that slope to break it up.
Okay.
You know, I don't know. Just
are you talking about in here?
Yeah, just to break up that severe.
That already,
yeah. No.
We just have it running back in through more on top of creating a step and some grade in here, but not going down the bank just because of the the cut or the actual slope itself. If you start to try to do a boulder bank, then you've got stabilization problems in the bank. The bank has to move way back in order to make it work.
That slope is compacted already.
Yeah, we knocked it. It's 95% totally engineered. Geofabric, grid.
Way to go, Aaron.
But we're going to plant. We're going to put coconut grass before the rains, and I'd like to even. So I'll come back to you with my landscape plan. But I'd like to get even going on planting before the rains, just to get things established on that bank.
Okay.
And as Brian said, there's two phases or two zones, and so this zone through here is going to all be native oaks, Toyon, Rus, not manicured type stuff. And it's going to be that same frontage along the entire probably 1,000 feet of frontage there. But in this zone here, it's going to be more of a manicured type of landscape. And Martha from Arcadia will do something nice.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I keep going out of turn. I forgot one thing is I'm just wondering when you, as you develop this and go to working drawings, this entry stair that, you know, obviously you drive up here, guests will park and they'll go up the stair. Is there some way to break that first run, which goes almost all the way into two pieces, and put a mid-landing there or something?
You know, there is. And the grading, if you look at the, where was the other one? Yeah. Because we were able to eliminate that long finger, we had a much softer contour in here. So this is not as steep, and that basin doesn't fill this hole. We were able, as you can see by the contours, really soften that. So I think we could kind of meander a walk up and not have just a straight run. So I will work with Richard.
We discussed that with the landscape, because it's nice to have sections of it with railing and pickets and then break horizontal and then have another section that walks. And now that we've got more space, we can pull that off a lot easier.
Right. All right, cool. Aaron?
So hearing comments today and going through some of the square footage, the first thing that jumped off the page to me was the extensive porch. And reminded me, I think the world record for porch was a quarter mile long at Fort Benning back in the 100 years ago. And it's not that big, but almost. But that said, with your neighbors, most importantly, and the architects here not having any comment about it, I'm going to keep my peace.
Karis, do you have any comments?
I just wanted to second the idea of this steep slope coming right into your thing. If there's any way you can break that up visually, even to get the non-natives to grow, just to slow down what's going to be happening with your water, wanting to run right off that. And as your wall ends here, and I didn't realize that was a liner, is there any thought to that coming down onto the roadway through that?
Well, if you look at the contours around the basin, the top of the finished surface of the sand and mulch mix is at 165, and then there's a berm, and you come up to 167. Okay. So it's really creating freeboard for if that basin were to fill, then it rises, and then there's an outlet structure, and then it gets through this outlet structure and goes into this trench drain and then back out through curb face. But this guy's got, I mean, it's the size of an Olympic swimming pool almost. A lot of water is going to go in there before it would rise to the surface, especially knowing the sand layer we hit. It perked, like, I've got perk tests here, if anybody cares. It's just whoosh, right down. So,
okay, good. Is that it? I think it's in perfect character with everything else you did. I think this is this development in total is pretty exemplary in how you've not just in the aesthetics, but how the process has gone. I'm very complimentary about this project, so I'm in complete support.
Thank you. Chair, I did forget one thing.
Yeah.
I'd be remiss if I didn't suggest laundry to landscape.
Got it.
Broken record, I know.
Every house.
With that, I guess that concludes our conceptual review. and we're not going to vote on it.
Okay. So remind me then, someone said we lost your preliminary option. What does that really mean to me? Are we able to go forward now with our working drawings?
So it was changed to what we call design review approval.
Okay.
And so instead of having the typical, which we have every place else, right, conceptual, preliminary, and a final.
We've got conceptual.
Have concept and a design review, period.
Okay.
Two-stage.
And I think that's what we did on the last couple, so.
And so we'll come when we go next.
Yeah. It'll take him a couple months, I think, to get his working drawings together, and Martha to do her landscape plan. We'll come back to see you.
Perfect.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. So bright. All right. With that, any item H is announcements by members. Anybody have anything? I guess I would just like to reiterate welcome to Kara. Thank you for participating and putting your time into this. The community thanks you for that. And with that, we are adjourned. Thank you.
Don't be scared of what you might see there. The first time I saw you, I knew love at first sight must be true, so true.